536. The Lord rules the hells above. In treating of heaven, it has been everywhere shown that the God of heaven is the Lord, thus that the whole government of the heavens is the Lord's government. And as the relation of heaven to hell and of hell to heaven is like the relation between two opposites which mutually act contrary to each other, and from the action and reaction of which an equilibrium results, which gives permanence to all things of their action and reaction. So in order that all things and each thing may be kept in equilibrium, it is necessary that he who rules the one should rule the other. For unless the same Lord restrained the uprisings from the hells and checked insanities there, the equilibrium would perish and everything with it. 537. But something about that equilibrium shall first be told. It is acknowledged that when two things mutually act against each other, and as much as one reacts and resists, the other acts and impels. Since there is equal power on either side, neither has any effect, and both can then be acted upon freely by a third. For when the force of the two is neutralized by equal opposition, the force of a third has full effect, and acts as easily as if there were no opposition. Such is the equilibrium between heaven and hell. Yet it is not an equilibrium like that between two bodily combatants whose strength is equal, but it is a spiritual equilibrium. That is, an equilibrium of falsity against truth and of evil against good. From hell falsity, from evil continually exhales, and from heaven truth from good. It is this spiritual equilibrium that causes man to think and will in freedom. For whatever a man thinks and wills has reference either to evil and falsity therefrom or to good and truth therefrom. Therefore, when he is in that equilibrium, he is in freedom either to admit or accept evil and its falsity from hell, or to admit or accept good and its truth from heaven. Every man is held in this equilibrium by the Lord, because the Lord rules both heaven and hell. But why man is held in this freedom by such an equilibrium, and why evil and falsity are not taken away from him and good and truth implanted in him by divine power, will be told hereafter in its own chapter. 538. A perception of the sphere of falsity from evil that flows forth from hell has often been granted me. It was like a perpetual effort to destroy all that is good and true, combined with anger and a kind of fury at not being able to do so, especially an effort to annihilate and destroy the divine of the Lord. And this because all good and truth are from him. But out of heaven a sphere of truth from good was perceived, whereby the fury of the effort ascending from hell was restrained. The result of this was an equilibrium. This sphere from heaven was perceived to come from the Lord alone, although it appeared to come from the angels in heaven. It is from the Lord alone, and not from the angels, because every angel in heaven acknowledges that nothing of good and of truth is from himself, but all is from the Lord. 539. In the spiritual world, truth from good is the source of all power, and falsity from evil has no power whatever. This is because the divine itself in heaven is divine good and divine truth, and all power belongs to the divine. Falsity from evil is powerless because truth from good is the source of all power, and in falsity from evil there is nothing of truth from good. Consequently, in heaven there is all power, and none in hell, for everyone in heaven is in truths from good, and everyone in hell is in falsities from evil. For no one is admitted into heaven until he is in truths from good. Neither is anyone cast down into hell until he is in falsities from evil. 540. Such, then, is the equilibrium between heaven and hell. Those who are in the world of spirits are in that equilibrium, for the world of spirits is midway between heaven and hell. From the same source all men in the world are kept in a like equilibrium, since men in the world are ruled by the Lord by means of spirits in the world of spirits, as will be shown hereafter in its own chapter. No such equilibrium would be possible unless the Lord ruled both heaven and hell and regulated both sides. Otherwise falsities from evil would preponderate, and would affect the simple good who are in the outmost regions of heaven, and who can be more easily perverted than the angels themselves, and thereby equilibrium would perish, and with it freedom and men. 541. Hell, like heaven, is divided into societies, and into as many societies as there are in heaven. For every society in heaven has a society opposite to it in hell, and this for the sake of equilibrium. But evils and falsities therefrom are what distinguish the societies in hell, as goods and truths therefrom are what distinguish the societies in heaven. That for every good there is an opposite evil, and for every truth an opposite falsity, may be known from this, that nothing can exist without relation to its opposite, and what anything is in kind and degree can be known from its opposite. And from this all perception and sensation is derived. For this reason the Lord continually provides that every society in heaven shall have an opposite in some society of hell, and that there shall be an equilibrium between the two. 542. As hell is divided into the same number of societies as heaven, there are as many hells as there are societies of heaven. For as each society of heaven is a heaven in smaller form, so each society in hell is a hell in smaller form. As in general there are three heavens, so in general there are three hells. A lowest, which is opposite to the inmost or third heaven, a middle, which is opposite to the middle or second heaven, and a higher, which is opposite to the outmost or first heaven. 543. How the hells are ruled by the Lord shall be briefly explained. In general, the hells are ruled by a general outflow from the heavens of divine good and divine truth, whereby the general endeavor flowing forth from the hells is checked and restrained, also by a particular outflow from each heaven and from each society of heaven. The hells are ruled in particular by means of the angels, to whom it is granted to look into the hells and to restrain insanities and disturbances there. And sometimes angels are sent to them who moderate these insanities and disturbances by their presence. But in general, all in the hells are ruled by means of their fears. Some are ruled by fears implanted in the world and still inherent in them. But as these fears are not sufficient, and gradually subside, they are ruled by fears of punishments, and it is especially by these that they are deterred from doing evil. The punishments in hell are manifold, lighter or more severe in accordance with the evils. For the most part, the more wicked, who excel in cunning and in artifices, and who are able to hold the rest in subjection and servitude by means of punishments and consequent terror, are set over them. But these governors dare not pass beyond the limits prescribed to them. It must be understood that the sole means of restraining the violence and fury of those who are in the hells is the fear of punishment. There is no other way. 544. It has been believed heretofore in the world that there is one devil that presides over the hells, that he was created an angel of light, but having become rebellious he was cast down with his crew into hell. This belief has prevailed because the devil and Satan, and also Lucifer, are mentioned by name in the word, and the word in those places has been understood according to the sense of the letter. But by the devil and Satan their hell is meant, devil meaning the hell that is behind, where the worst dwell, who are called evil genii, and Satan the hell that is in front, where the less wicked dwell, who are called evil spirits, and Lucifer those that belong to Babel, or Babylon, who would extend their dominion even into heaven. That there is no one devil to whom the hells are subject is evident also from this, that all who are in the hells, like all who are in the heavens, are from the human race, and that those who have gone there from the beginning of creation to this time amount to myriads of myriads. And every one of them is a devil in accord with his opposition to the divine while he lived in the world. 545. The Lord casts no one into hell, the Spirit casts himself down. An opinion has prevailed with some that God turns away his face from man, casts man away from himself, and casts him into hell, and is angry with him on account of his evil, and some believe also that God punishes man and does evil to him. In this opinion they establish themselves by the sense of the letter of the word, where such things are declared, not knowing that the spiritual sense of the word, by which the sense of the letter is made clear, is wholly different, and consequently that the genuine doctrine of the church, which is from the spiritual sense of the word, teaches otherwise, namely, that God never turns away his face from man, and never casts man away from himself, that he casts no one into hell and is angry with no one. Everyone, moreover, whose mind is enlightened perceives this to be true when he reads the word. From the simple truth that God is good itself, love itself, and mercy itself, and that good itself cannot do evil to anyone, and love itself and mercy itself cannot cast man away from itself, because this is contrary to the very essence of mercy and love, thus contrary to the divine itself. Therefore those who think from an enlightened mind clearly perceive, when they read the word, that God never turns himself away from man, and as he never turns himself away from him, he deals with him from goodness, love, and mercy, that is, wills good to him, loves him, and is merciful to him. And from this they see that the sense of the letter of the word, in which such things are declared, has stored up within itself a spiritual sense, and that these expressions that are used in the sense of the letter in accommodation to man's apprehension and according to his first and general ideas are to be explained in accordance with the spiritual sense. In the word, anger and wrath are attributed to the Lord, but they are in man, and it is so expressed because such is the appearance to man when he is punished and damned. Evil also is attributed to the Lord, although nothing but good is from him. Why it is so expressed in the word, the Lord is pure mercy and clemency. 546. Those who are enlightened see further that good and evil are two opposites, and are therefore opposed as heaven and hell are, and that all good is from heaven and all evil from hell. And as it is the divine of the Lord that makes heaven, nothing but good flows into man from the Lord, and nothing but evil from hell. Thus the Lord is continually withdrawing man from evil and leading him to good, while hell is continually leading man into evil. Unless man were between these two, he could have no thought nor any will, still less any freedom or any choice. For all these man has by virtue of the equilibrium between good and evil. Consequently, if the Lord should turn himself away, leaving man to evil alone, man would cease to be man. All this shows that the Lord flows into every man with good, into the evil man as well as the good, but with the difference that the Lord is continually withdrawing the evil man from evil and is continually leading the good man to good. And this difference lies in the man himself, because he is the recipient. 547. From this it is clear that it is from hell that man does evil, and from the Lord that he does good. But man believes that whatever he does from himself, and in consequence of this the evil that he does sticks to him as his own. And for this reason man is the cause of his own evil, and in no way the Lord. Evil in man is hell in him, for it is the same thing whether you say evil or hell. And since man is the cause of his own evil, he is led into hell, not by the Lord but by himself. For so far is the Lord from leading man into hell that it is he who delivers man from hell. And this he does so far as man does not will and love to be in his own evil. All of man's will and love continues with him after death. He who wills and loves evil in the world wills and loves the same evil in the other life, but he no longer suffers himself to be withdrawn from it. If, therefore, a man is in evil, he is tied to hell, and in respect to his spirit is actually there, and after death desires nothing so much as to be where his evil is. Consequently, it is man who casts himself into hell after death, and not the Lord. 548. How this comes about shall also be explained. When man enters the other life, he is received first by angels, who perform for him all good offices, and talk with him about the Lord, heaven, and the angelic life, and instruct him in things that are true and good. But if the man, now a spirit, be one who knew about these things in the world, but in heart denied or despised them, after some conversation he desires and seeks to get away from these angels. As soon as the angels perceive this, they leave him. After some interaction with others, he at length unites himself with those who are in evil like his own. When this takes place, he turns himself away from the Lord and turns his face towards the hell to which he had been joined in the world, in which those abide who are in a like love of evil. All this makes clear that the Lord draws every spirit to himself by means of angels and by means of influx from heaven. But those spirits that are in evil completely resist, and as it were tear themselves away from the Lord, and are drawn by their own evil, thus by hell, as if by a rope. And as they are so drawn, and by reason of their love of evil are eager to follow, it is evident that they themselves cast themselves into hell by their own free choice. Men in the world, because of their idea of hell, are unable to believe that this is so. In fact, in the other life before the eyes of those who are outside of hell it does not so appear, but only so to those who cast themselves into hell, for such enter of their own accord. Those who enter from a burning love of evil appear to be cast headlong, with the head downwards and the feet upwards. It is because of this appearance that they seem to be cast into hell by divine power. From all this it can be seen that the Lord casts no one into hell, but everyone casts himself into hell, both while he is living in the world and also after death when he comes among spirits. 549. The Lord from his divine essence, which is goodness, love, and mercy, is unable to deal in the same way with every man, because evils and their falsities prevent, and not only quench his divine influx but even reject it. Evils and their falsities are like black clouds which interpose between the sun and the eye, and take away the sunshine and the serenity of its light. Although the unceasing endeavor of the sun to dissipate the opposing clouds continues, for it is operating behind them, and in the meantime transmits something of obscure light into the eye of man by various roundabout ways. It is the same in the spiritual world. The sun there is the Lord and the divine love, and the light there is the divine truth. Black clouds there are falsities from evil. The eye there is the understanding. So far as anyone in that world is in falsities from evil, he is encompassed by such a cloud, which is black and dense according to the degree of his evil. From this comparison it can be seen that the Lord is unceasingly present with everyone, but that he is received variously. 550. Evil spirits are severely punished in the world of spirits in order that by means of punishments they may be deterred from doing evil. This also appears to be from the Lord, and yet nothing of punishment there is from the Lord, but is from the evil itself, since evil is so joined with its own punishment that the two cannot be separated. For the infernal crew desire and love nothing so much as doing evil, especially inflicting punishments and torment upon others, and they maltreat and inflict punishments upon everyone who is not protected by the Lord. When, therefore, evil is done from an evil heart, because it thereby discards all protection from the Lord, infernal spirits rush upon the one who does the evil, and inflict punishment. This may be partly illustrated by evils and their punishments in the world, where the two are also joined. For laws in the world prescribe a penalty for every evil. Therefore he that rushes into evil rushes also into the penalty of evil. The only difference is that in the world the evil may be concealed, but in the other life it cannot be concealed. All this makes clear that the Lord does evil to no one, and that it is the same as it is in the world, where it is not the king nor the judge nor the law that is the cause of punishment to the guilty, because these are not the cause of the evil in the evildoer. 551.